If you've got your Bibles, stay with me. Stay open to Luke 2, 8 through 14. That's going to be our text this morning for just a little bit. This morning, the sermon is, "And So It Begins Again." The last minute push. You have a couple of shopping days left, and I know that there are many of us in this room of the non-female persuasion, we'll just leave it at that, that are thinking, "I have done it once again. I have waited to the absolute last minute, and I didn't want to do that. I promised myself last year, when it was 2 days before Christmas, and I had nothing, that I wouldn't do this again. But here we are, last minute, and the only saving grace that we have is..." Howard always reminds me, you know, MAPCO is open 24/7, even on Christmas Eve. So if you need to go and get your last minute shopping done, you know, Walgreens is open, MAPCO down the road, you know, you can always, there's always opportunity. But here we are at this place in history, whether you've got all of your shopping done, whether you've got everything wrapped under the tree, whether you've, you know, put this whole Christmas season to bed weeks ago, whatever it is, here we are again. And I know that for me, as an adult now with children of my own, I never remember Christmas happening this quickly over and over and over again. It seemed like when I was a kid, it took it forever to get here. But now here we are. Here we are again. Christmas is a few days. It seems like Christmas is always just a couple days away. I mean, is anybody else like, does it seem like it's just always a couple days away? And then we have Christmas. Oh, and then next thing you know, you turn around, it's the 4th of July. Oh, it's Christmas again. When I was a kid, it took 5 years to get here. But now, here we are again. And I wonder if in the history of time, if there's times when God feels that way, is that here we are again. And in Luke chapter 2, 8 through 14, we find this this kind of idea of here we are, and it begins again. Because in Luke chapter 2, we find that God would live among us again. Because isn't that where He started? Isn't that where God started with us? That He wanted to live with us. He wanted to have this communion all the way back in Genesis. It started with God living with His people. God communing and walking and just being with us. And then things went horribly wrong. And for us, it would seem like in eternity. And I know for the people that lived in those days when they heard about God coming back and Him having this redemption and God living with us, it seemed like forever. But then, I wonder if God's perspective, it just, here we go again. Isaiah 7 and 14 would say that the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will give birth, and she will give birth to a son, and His name will be Emmanuel. And what that means is God with us. God saying, again, it begins. I will be with you. I've always been with you. I've always been walking alongside you. Oh, you might not have been able to see me. You might not have been able to feel me. You might not have been able to follow me. But I've always been there. But it begins again now. I will be with you in flesh. God will be with you. He says, we're beginning this all over again. He goes on to say that He would establish His kingdom. You see, His kingdom was here on this earth. And then, as I said, things go horribly wrong. And His kingdom is not as established. The God dwelling with us and the face-to-face, the communion, the place where we live with God, the garden, as it was called in the beginning, that no longer existed. But in Micah chapter 5, 2 through 4, we get a picture of what God prophesies that it will look like. He said that He will come, this Messiah, this Emmanuel, he will come and he will establish his kingdom. That's what he talks about in Micah when he says that he will rule over Israel. He will reestablish his reign, not only over his people, but among his people. So God is saying that, here we go again. I'm gonna do this one more time. And it's not really the next time that he showed up, but it's just another time that he showed up. Because all through the Old Testament, you see these theophanies, you see these Savior situations where God shows up in what seems as human form, with the angel of the Lord. God comes and he delivers somebody somewhere. He delivers Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from certain turmoil, from certain peril. He delivers Daniel. He makes these delivery appearances over and over and over again. But he says, once and for all, here's a time when I'm going to show up. I'm going to live among my people. I'm going to live among, as what Howard described, as those that I love. And so he shows up. And we, along with most of the world, and I'll tell you, one of the things that I'm so proud of as the elders, Al and Ward and I met this morning, as we do on Sunday mornings, and we pray over everyone that's on their way and those who are here working. This morning, Al prayed, in his prayer, he said, you know, God, we thank you for this time when we are so united with so many people, and where Christians universally celebrate this as a time that we can remember the birth of Christ, the showing up of God. And I just, as he was praying, I just thought of, man, what a great community moment this is. What a great unity, unifying event to celebrate the birth of Christ, to celebrate the reintroduction of God among his people. And as we celebrate this moment, as we celebrate this occurrence, there's a couple of realities that I want to talk about just briefly this morning as we think about God coming and doing this all over again, and reestablishing his presence among his people, reestablishing his kingdom, his rule, his sovereignty here on earth. And that's a big concept for us to realize, that Jesus didn't just come to establish himself as Savior. He came to establish himself as ruler. And going forward in 2014, we're going to talk a lot about what that means, that Jesus is Lord, not just Savior, but Lord. Because you see, he in Luke chapter 2, and if you've got your Bibles open there, go ahead and look at it. He says, look, for unto you, the angel said, you know, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign. And he said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. He said, yeah, here's a Savior. Here, the Savior is here. But he just doesn't leave it there. He talks about this peace. You know what? When he talks about peace, you know, who brings peace? Who establishes peace? A ruler. A ruler establishes peace. If we want to experience the peace that we read about, it goes far beyond a Savior. It reaches all the way into ruler. See, Jesus not only said he is Lord. We're going to talk a lot more about that, but in the days and the weeks and months to come in 2014. So come back. Don't just, you know, Christmas, the Christmas season isn't where God dwelling among us stops. But this morning, what I want to talk about is there's two points I want to make about God beginning this all over again. And I want to take a couple of phrases, a couple of quotes from one of my favorite movies, one of my favorite characters of any movie of all time. And when I give you this, you're going to know who I'm talking about. Because for us to get the beginning again part right, We have to understand that Christmas is as Christmas does. I love Forrest Gump. I love that movie. I love the simplicity of it. I love the all of the life lessons that are taught in that movie. But for us this morning, I want you to realize that when God says, we're beginning this again, if you feel like that we've been here before, you're right, and we're beginning it again. But all of this birth of Christ, all of this Christmas season, all of whatever it is that we think about, Christmas is what Christmas does. I want you to think about something for a minute, and as Howard said, you know, don't read the article, and you know, I don't do that just to beat people up, because I get beat up all week when I'm writing this and writing sermons and all that, but we would be remiss if we weren't trying to get better. Amen? I mean, we would be wasting our time if we weren't trying to get more like Christ. So I want you to think about something this morning as we think about this beautiful picture being painted in Scripture. The birth of Christ that really did happen. What you think about says a lot about you. When you hear Christmas, what comes to mind says a lot about where you are, not only personally, but where you are spiritually, where you are in your walk with God. Does it make you feel happy? Does it make you feel stressed? Does it make you feel anxious anticipation? Does it make you feel like, oh, I just want this to get over with? That says a lot about, does it make you feel like, and for me, for a long time, you know where I was at? I was trying to write all, you know, to correct all of the Christmas doctrine. It said a lot about me forever in my walk with God. You know where I was? I was serving God right here. I was believing in God up here, but I was missing it right here. Because for me, Christmas was all about, you know, well, this, you know, we got this and the nativity is wrong and all that. And finally, one day, I just realized, you know what, I'm missing it. And then I realized that I was just so stressed out about all the gifts and all of the this and all of that. And I realized, you know what? I'm missing it. So what, you know, Christmas for you is what it does for you. Does it make you happy? Then it's a happy time. Does it make you stressed? Then it's a stress. Whatever it is. But what's the birth of Christ supposed to do? It's supposed to bring us joy. It's supposed to bring us peace. When you think about Christmas, when you think about the birth of Christ, does it bring you joy and does it bring you peace? If not, we need to change. When you think about your relationship, when you think about God dwelling among us, when you think about this, that right now, today, on the way over here, God was with you. Does that make you stressed? Does that make you happy? Does it make you fearful? Does it make you anxious? What do you think about when you think about God being with you? Not just somewhere else, like some kind of government entity that may or may not find out about what you did or did not pay on your taxes. I mean, because, you know, we think of a lot of ruling agencies, whatever, and they're way over there, and maybe they'll find out, maybe they won't. But when you think about God dwelling with us, knowing inside and out, walking this life right there alongside of us, how does that make you feel? Because how you feel about that will determine how you respond to God. Because the way it made me feel for a long time, I would just really rather not think about. And so you know what I did? I didn't think about it. I thought about all the other things that I wanted to think, but I didn't think about. Because it wasn't good. But now I look forward. Now you just look forward to that time when this is, when it's all around you. When it's all around you and you can't escape it. You see, we might look forward to it, but we'll never see it coming. Think about that. When you think about the Christmas story, and whether it happened this time of year or in the summertime or whatever, it happened. When you think about the Christmas story, how much did God have to plan and how many things did he have to use and pull off and all that for everything to come together like it was said it would so that Christ would be born, to whom and where he said he would be born. Think about that. Read the birth narrative. There was a census that a pagan ruler just arbitrarily decided he was going to take, and everybody had to return, and all this stuff had to take place, and lo and behold, Joseph and Mary had to go to Bethlehem. All of that stuff had to take place. You know, all of these things, you know, God had to put so many things, and even when things tried to get derailed and all of these people tried to undermine his plan, he said, no, I can use that. Pagan king, oh, I can use that. Horrible family line, oh, I can use that. Read the genealogy. The family of Christ, the full of skeletons in that closet. The genealogy is chock full of people that you would think, you know what, a Savior would never be born from a family like that. I mean, it's chock full of scandal and intrigue and people trying their best to derail the plan of God. How much did God have to put into place? See, we'll look forward to it. And we'll think, but when it finally shows up, it's really not like we had anticipated. And isn't that just like Christmas? It never really goes the way we think it's going to go. Because, number two, Christmas is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Now, I don't know about you guys, but every time I get or I'm close to, or around, or a box of chocolates, I always end up getting the one that's got like the coconut toothpaste in it. You know, you're like, that's yummy. Mm-hmm. And at our house, anytime there's chocolates around or whatever, you know, the ones with the gooey, weird centers, there's always these holes in the middle of them. Where, you know, after, you know, because when I bite into that and it's got that little weird, warm, gooey cherry thing in there, then I'm like, oh, that's horrible. I'm thinking, you know what, I'm done with those. But no, the kids, they're like, you know what? What's in that one? Nope, not that one. No, They go until they find the one with the peanut butter, the crispy treats, all that stuff in there. And then after 2 days, you know, the rest of them are just horrible. So just stay or steer clear of those. But you never know what you're going to get. And looks can certainly be deceiving, can't they? When it comes to the birth narrative, when it comes to the story of Jesus, when it comes to Christ dwelling among us, isn't that kind of the overarching theme of our relationship with God? Is that as soon as we think we've got it figured out, it's absolutely nothing like we thought it would be. That as soon as we think that oh, that one looks good, we take a bite, oh no, that was terrible. And then we and all of the whole birth narrative is about it's not like you think it's going to be. I mean, because just the way that it begins, being born in a stable, showing up at the time that he did, all of those things, it wasn't like what we had in mind for him. And you know the biggest deceiving part of the Christmas story? Because the Christmas story isn't just the birth of Christ. It's really the life of Christ. And the Christmas story didn't just take place in a manger, but it took place in the hill country of Judea as Jesus goes and he preaches and he teaches and he heals. Because the whole idea of the Christmas story was that Jesus would come and dwell among us. And you know what we really don't see coming is the end of the story. Now, when you read through the New Testament, and for a few years now, I guess it's been more than 10 years, I've been reading through as a discipline, and I would encourage you to do this. Just as a discipline alone, read through the New Testament, or read through the Gospels once a week. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just read through them once a week, each one. And as you read through the Gospels, you read through the life of Christ, you'll realize something that comes up over and over and over again. That's dealt with in every single gospel. And that is that the life of Christ leads to something other than the life of Christ. You see, because in only two of the gospels is the birth narrative dealt with. But in all of them, the suffering and the death and the resurrection. Do we fulfill the significance of His birth by responding to the significance of His death and His resurrection? Because this is the easiest part of the dwelling among us and the rulership of Christ that we have to deal with. The Christmas season, as we have defined it, is the easiest part for us to wrap our minds around, because this is when we get something. The rest of his life is teaching us that what we get is an opportunity to give ourselves fully back to a God who said, again, I will come and I will dwell among you and I will live with you. I will bring you joy. I will bring you peace. And because of those things, you will be able to surrender this life. A life that's heading really nowhere. And I will in turn give you a life that's headed for hope. That's headed for dwelling with me forever. You see, over and over and over again, what is more talked about? Over and over and over again in the Gospels, what's talked about is the significance of what His birth led to. What's over and over talked about is the significance of what Christ's birth in our lives is leading us to. This Christmas, will we let Christmas do something to us that maybe it's never done before? Will we let the birth of Christ, the reality of a Savior coming, God dwelling with us, will we let that define us for the rest of the year? And then maybe for the rest of our lives. Because right now we're thinking, hey, unto us a Savior is born. He is Christ the Lord. And on the 25th, we're all going to have this big celebration. And then unfortunately, the 26th is going to happen. And then the 27th. And guess what? Jesus was still born. Even on the 27th of, he'll still be here. On the 15th of January, on the 23rd of August, He'll still be Christ the Lord. Can we let Christmas do that to us this year? Stay with us all throughout the year leading up to our death, our burial, and our resurrection. But let me warn you, you have no idea what that's going to look like. You let Christmas do something magical, do something supernatural to you, and I promise you, your life will not look like anything that you had planned. And that box of chocolates will accept it and realize, hey, I have no idea what this is going to taste like. But I'm ready. I'm willing, and because of Him, I'm able. Will we fulfill the significance of His birth? And will we respond to the significance of His death? This morning, we have a decision to make. This morning, we have a choice to make. Can we allow Christmas to do something to us different? For some of us this morning, it might be completely responding to the invitation of God's grace, responding to that Savior, responding to that ruler, responding to that Lord, confessing Him as our as your Lord and Savior, and being baptized into His death, burial, and resurrection so that you have the Holy Spirit in your life to take you through your own death, burial, and resurrection. What is your need this morning? What's on your Christmas list? Is it more and more of the same, or is it something completely different? Do you need a change this year? Do you need to start 2014 a completely new person? Jesus says that I will make you a new creation. The old will go away, and I'll bring you something so new that it will never get old. What do you need this year? If you need the prayers of this church, if you need the salvation of God's grace, whatever it is, Charlie's going to lead us in an invitation song. He's going to come on up and do that in just a second. And I'm going to be up front. And if you need the prayers of this church, whatever you need, join me up front and we can pray about it as together we stand and as we sing.